The idea is you get out of North Ministry, you start your journey, you become a journeyman.
That's the idea.
Okay, let's stay high level, okay? You're getting into too much detail.
Okay.
What changed? Why are you back?
He just kept begging me to come back and like, dude, all right.
Welcome back to the Passion for Craft podcast. We are talking about the ups and downs of running a business.
Okay, I got to just say this. Like two minutes before we get on camera.
30 seconds.
My son goes, oh, by the way, there's a lady at Historic Mount Vernon. She's a curator there. I mean, if you ever wanted to go look at that. Like, you're bringing this up now? Like, I've been in Virginia three times. I would love to go there. I'm trying to look for an inn. Oh, by the way.
You should have asked me.
I got this person.
You should have asked me. I didn't know. Yeah, I'm sorry.
It'd be like me saying some kind of gaming thing, just a similar thing. Oh, by the way, I know the owner of that thing. If you'd ever want to just, it'd be like, what? Wait, what? That's why we're giggling and I'm about to hit him.
With a high five.
No, what? Not a high five. All right, ups and downs of business.
Well, you guys both left us off with a cliffhanger in episode one, so I think it's important to close the circle.
We wanted to spend a little more time on it.
Yeah, Richard, you were saying there's a lot more to the story. Brent, you were saying I really need to get into it in another episode, so who wants to go first?
I'll go first. Yeah, business has been growing good, meeting up with people and getting jobs on the books and really having a need to bring on more carpenters. It's been tough. And I will say, and your Brock is your teacher, right?
That's right.
He said in the episode with him that whenever they like have graduates, they're like ready to go. And I was like, man, that'd be so awesome to like have.
Brock's the carpentry teacher.
That's right.
He's not your teacher.
I mean, he's a teacher. I go to the school. So.
Okay.
Well, I'll claim him as mine.
Well, what he was
and
saying
he's a
is
listener,
like,
so he's a big fan.
Like what he was like, when they get out of here, they can read a tape measure, they can lay out, they can do precision work, you know. They may not be as fast, but... And I had just gone through this gauntlet week of trying to find someone.
Yeah.
And part of it's my fault, because I put out on classifieds ads. My first ad was, I need a carpenter to join our team. Mm-hmm. Call or text Richard and put my number out there. I should have been, like, way more, like... eliminating people.
Yeah.
Like, you must do this, you must have that, you gotta have that. But I was just like, I got just hammered with a bunch of like rough dudes, basically. Just like not the kind of people I want to hire. Just very disrespectful. Like even in the initial calls, when they would call me and I'd be like, hey, you know, like they were just so disrespectful. And like, I don't even, like one guy, I'll tell you this, the first guy actually.
Yeah.
Was like, yeah, so right now I'm just throwing trash for North Richland Hills and I'm just looking for something else. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, carpentry is cool. He's like, so what do y'all do with like wood? And I kind of explained it to him. And
what do you do with wood?
And then I said, the thing that really threw me off was this guy was like, so where would I have to be? And I'm like, oh, well, we have to go where the work is. Like, I've got a job an hour and a half south of here right now. I've got a job in Dallas, have a job in West Fort Worth. So, like, we're on-site carpenters.
Yeah.
We go where the work is. Oh, because right now I'm borrowing my girlfriend's car a lot. And I was just like, oh, okay. He's like, but I could Uber there. I'm like.
Every day.
With all your tools?
Yeah, and then the craziest thing about this first applicant was that I said, well, you know, if you came on, I'm looking to hire someone like now.
Yeah.
So would you need to tell the trash people like, hey, I need to put in a 2 weeks notice? He's like, no, I just quit. I can get another job anywhere. And I'm like, that's not what you want to tell the guy trying to hire you.
Prospective employee. Employer.
So wait, let's just analyze a couple of the takeaways here.
Right? I'm like, this is basic. Like when I was 12, I knew like, yes, sir, no, sir. Be early. Early is on time is late. Late is unacceptable. That whole thing. I'm just like, where is the respect? Like, where is the common sense?
So what you were hoping for was a guy to go, hey, I've been doing carpentry for a little bit, more of the hobby, or I've never really done it, but I'm handy, and I think I could figure it out. I'm eager to learn.
I think in retrospect, he's looking for someone with 5 years or 10 years of experience.
It would be nice, and there are those guys out there, but a lot of them, I hate to say it, they're rough, mm-hmm. and I don't want to work with them.
And by rough, you mean disrespectful.
Trashy. Like, I met up with people, and I'm just like, I don't want you representing me. You know, I mean, I didn't say that because I'm not going to be a jerk. The first guy I hired, so a lot of the guys had a lot of experience, like, according to them. You know, I didn't really go through with it to see where they were because they didn't pass my initial, like, gut check. Mm-hmm. So the first guy I hired was like, hey, here's a few things I've done at my house, a couple of built-ins, little kind of projects. Cool. But was very respectful. Mm-hmm. He said to me, yes, sir. And I met up with him at a job, and he was like, you know, I would just, even if you don't keep me on, I would love the opportunity to work for you and Mr. Hull. And when he said that, I was like, you're in.
Yeah.
Just because he was respectful.
Right.
I was like, all the other stuff I can teach you.
Right.
Respectful, on time. He's been great. I think I've had him now for like 3 months.
Wow. He's been awesome.
It's been really good.
That's awesome.
Just very complex, like, he thinks of things, mm-hmm. and like, kind of like, look, like when you're doing carpentry, as you know, like, you got to kind of think 10 steps ahead. Mm-hmm. So he has that mind for it. I'm just trying to cultivate the skill.
Yeah.
And it's getting there.
That's cool.
So it's a really.
So, you know, lessons to you guys out there, dress properly, quit cussing, show up in a clean truck, have your tools organized, right? I mean, there's some things that are just like, look, guys, don't be a knucklehead, okay? You know, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? You know,
yes.
remember where we are and what's going on, that this is a career and a profession, okay? This is not a...
I can quit anytime. I'll find another job anywhere.
You know, this is a bottom of the barrel. Nobody cares. You know, this isn't a career. I'm just going to do this for a little while. No. We are taking this thing as serious as we can take anything in life. This is our life. This is our career. This is our passion. This is what we do. You know, don't crap on it.
Yeah,
right?
Have some respect for it.
The opportunity for someone to go work for Richard, okay, is one of the best carpentry opportunities, I think, in the Metroplex, in DFW.
I would agree.
And so it's just like, you're working for a guy who had an influencing career and still an influencer. Two, he's about, can we say you're about to be in the build show? Can we say?
Yeah. Yeah, we can say it, because by the time this airs.
About to be on the build show. I mean, this guy has influence and clout and respect in the industry.
Well, it's just basic.
Don't curse. Don't show up.
It's just so frustrating. It's just like, oh my gosh.
Basic stuff that I would, if I was going to go apply for the trash job, I would have been like, dress nice, shirt tucked in, handshake, yes, sir.
Imagine
like,
some guy going to the Dallas Cowboys tryouts, okay, in jeans, okay, and long hair, unkept, maybe a little overweight, and going, well, how hard can it be, right?
It's
you're
also,
just like, wait a minute, this is the NFL. This is an opportunity. You're showing up. Like,
there's also like a small factor to it where it's like, I don't care if you are the most natural talent in the world. There are some fundamental pieces where they disqualify you regardless of if you are like what Pat was saying. I don't know if this episode will come before that one, but when we're talking with Pat, he talks about the guy who may be the best craftsman out there, but if his personal life is not in order and put together, he doesn't get to
he's
be
talking
a part
about,
of the grill.
Yeah,
the grill
it was the final test in the master,
in the compagnon for France,
to be a master carpenter. And he said, you're not just judged by your work, you're judged by who you are.
Your character. Mm-hmm.
And your character. And so I just think that's fascinating.
Well, I thought my trouble would be trying to find someone with experience. I was like, man, like, it's going to be hard. But it was actually the opposite. It was just trying to find someone who's respectable and presentable.
It's hard, like, because that's the thing you can't train.
Yes. Yeah, that's the thing. And it's kind of awkward to say, like, hey, you're kind of dirty, you know, mm-hmm. like, it's
take a shower.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna do that. A couple of other from that gauntlet week I'll share with you. I told this other guy, it's like, hey, find, like, okay, we talked a little bit on the phone. Let's find a Starbucks meetup. I'll grab us a coffee. We can talk in there, you know. Let's just see face to face. So I go, send me a Starbucks that's near you. I'll come to you, you know, make this convenient. So he sends me one. I go there, and it's like a drive-through only one. And I was like, hey, are you at this Starbucks? He's like, yeah, I'm in this Honda Civic or whatever it was. It was like all beat up, this car. And I was like, it looks like this one's like a drive-through only. He's like, oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, do you want to meet under that tree over there? Like, so we get out. We go meet under this tree. This guy has like these big like visor shades on, a wife beater. And I'm like, like I saw him and I already knew like, yeah, this isn't going to work. That's how you're coming to get the job.
To a job interview.
I kind of humored him for a few minutes. And then I said, well, I'll let you know. And then I just told him later on the positions filled. Because yeah, I don't want to be rude. I'm just like, then that's why this was such like a gauntlet week. I had like 15 people that I called. And I would just like X people out.
Yeah.
And just be like, that guy did this. No, mm-hmm, no. So.
Yeah.
I think it also gets to kind of the guttural nature of finding a new employee too. I feel like I can sit down with someone and almost know immediately whether they're going to work or not. Mm-hmm. Like, Richard, you're not going to work. I'm sorry.
For the episode or for the podcast.
The whole life. Your whole life. It's not going to work. It's how the person carries himself. It's you know, the fear in their eyes. The, you know, just the – anyway, it's just like –
there's like, definitely
like
a gut
when I'm
feeling.
Hiring for project managers, I need someone who I know who's going to project confidence and ability in front of our homeowners who are very demanding, very wealthy, very high power people, and they love what they do and they have experience. And so I can tell pretty quick, you know, whether the person's going to work or not. So anyway.
And I've dealt with, I think you have four right now, four project managers. Is that right?
Oh, just hired Kristen. A fourth one. Yeah, just hired Kristen.
And all four of them I've worked with directly, and they all are awesome. Like, every single one of them.
Yeah.
Or like, even good. Her being, like, the newest, I got to do that.
Yeah.
That one job where we were doing that restoration, and she was, like, on top of it.
Yeah, she's one who's younger. I've always liked the idea of a woman being a project manager because they're conscientious, detail-oriented, and,
yeah,
you know, in general, and I've hired one or two that haven't worked out. And so when I first got her resume, I was actually like, I don't think she can do it. But then what happened is I got probably 20 other resumes from project managers, and either they had experience that was like multifamily and they're doing apartments, or they'd done different things, or it was clear that they just weren't the right people. I kept coming back to her and finally ended up hiring her. She had worked 7 years for another builder, first as a kind of project coordinator in the office, and then from her basically saying, look, I can do that job. Don't go hire another project manager. I'll take care of that. And ended up being the guy's project manager. So pretty sharp girl.
Yeah.
I mean, she is a sharp girl. And so far, we're very pleased. I mean, she's, you know, 1 week, 2 weeks in, but mm-hmm, very, very, very pleased.
Are you doing all the hiring at your company?
Well, we'll get into that. The quick answer is no. And we've got a headhunter that helps us find people and stuff like that. But I'll tell you about that when I explain my whole deal.
Does he have a future here?
It's still, right, we're still trying to
I'm taking
to
notes here, right? I got to show up. I got a curse on site. Yeah. Wear a wife beater.
Yeah. So I wanted to go back to not only making sure everybody out there that's listening hears what you're looking for, hears from a potential employer what they're looking for. I remember my brother-in-law when he was very early in the roofing business and starting out at his own, and he got some Wendy's jobs. He was doing commercial roofing, and he got some Wendy's jobs. And I was like, that was awesome. How'd you get that? He goes, Brent, I think I just showed up when I said I was going to show up. He goes, I don't have as much experience as those other people. I know what I'm doing. I worked for another commercial roofer for like 5 years. And so I knew what I was doing. I knew how to do it. Knew how to bid it. Have great guys. He goes, but I don't know how I want it. He goes, I think literally I showed up when I said I was going to show up.
It means so much.
And I was
those
just like,
basic things.
And I was shocked when he said that. But then that was 25 years ago. But I still remember it. I was like, and there's a lot to be said for that.
It is so funny just hearing the intangibles. Like, I feel like a lot of companies project the idea that no one's going to hire you unless you've got 5 years of experience, unless you've got, you know, all these different things. And Richard, hearing from you, who's like, you know, would be the awesomest job to work at, you know what I mean? Like, if anyone wants to work as a carpenter, working under you would be unbelievable.
I think you're, it's most awesome.
Yeah. So it's the awesomest thing in the world. Basically, you're saying to them, I don't really care about the experience portion of it. I just want you to be respectful, show up on time.
It is interesting.
And, well, that you know, was why I put the blame on myself on my first post yeah. for a job, because I said I need a carpenter and I didn't lay out who I was.
Yeah.
So I learned from that experience. Yeah. Like, not everyone just has the common sense to care to mm-hmm. be respectable or respectful. Mm-hmm. So on the second ad, I was a jerk, basically. Yeah. I was like, I even said at the bottom of the ad, look, I know this is like maybe too personal and maybe like kind of jerky, but I'm actually looking for people who care.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get near, like, it was crazy. Like,
I weeded out a bunch.
Yeah, I had stuff on there. It was like, you can't smoke.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, like, you can't smoke. And even on when I filled out your to be a subcontractor for you, it's like, you can't smoke on these job sites. You got to be clean. Like, so now I can't bring that on to what you guys have going on, you know? And then when I meet with people, I'm like, look, you can smoke, but just do it on the break. Like, don't be chain smoking.
Right.
Like, I don't want to control your life. If we're on our lunch break and you're a cigarette smoker, like, I don't want to do your thing. But I just wanted to kind of weed out people who are like, well, smoking's really important to me. Yeah. So I don't want, you know.
That's a deal breaker for me or whatever. Yeah.
I don't think you have to apologize for demanding the type of worker that you want. I don't think you should have to apologize for that. I think that you're building your business, your brand, your reputation, and anybody you bring has to represent that brand. And so I understand it kind of feels like you're being a jerk to demand those things, but it's just like, that's also the reason we want you on our job sites, because you are respectful, you are clean cut, you do know what the hell you're doing, right? You do, you're a very professional.
I care about it.
Yeah. Cares.
I care about what I'm doing, and
so,
I love doing it.
So to demand that from your employees, that's what you should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would the ideal employee look like?
I would say ideal employee would be, like, ideal 10 years of experience in carpentry and everything we just talked about, respectful and clean and caring and have a passion for craft.
Would you rather have 25-year-old kid who knows a little bit, super respectful, or would you rather have a 40-year-old person who's obviously more experienced but kind of a jerk? Talent or character, basically, is kind of the question.
The character.
Yeah.
I was going to say, based on your hiring stuff, it seems like the character wins out.
Well, when you mention the age of like a 50-year-old person, like, we have Tom, and Tom is, I think, 62, but Tom's not a jerk. So I was like, if I can have, like,
Tom's a great guy.
A bunch of Toms, like, you know.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's
Tom
good.
Is.
Yeah, I mean, you can look
unbelievable.
You can look at, I think, your employee team and go, if I could have five more of that guy, you know, and two more of that guy, that'd be great.
Yeah. If I could clone Tom and John and just like, I would be done, you know. And the new guys, like, I have two new guys.
Yeah.
One of them's name is Richard and one of them's name is Joe, the one that was very respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both great guys. And
are you looking for even more guys?
Yeah, I'm meeting with a guy right after this.
So I have a question. So one reason
I got a guy I can send your way.
Is his name Jackson?
No. His name's William. He's awesome.
He's down here?
He's in Houston now, but he's looking for work.
Is he going to take an Uber up here?
No.
Every day?
No, he has
his
own car.
Is he going to borrow his girlfriend's car?
He has his own car. He has his own tools. He's been doing handyman stuff for a while, but he's a hard worker.
If he wants to make the move, I mean.
I'll let him know.
One of the things that I thought was fascinating that when you and I were talking, because I showed, just so you listeners know, I don't see Richard all the time, but then I'll see him a bunch on jobs and or just whatever else is going on. And I show up out at the ranch and there's like six guys there. I'm like, what's going on? Where did these guys come from? And you're like, yeah, no, I've been hiring a bunch and I'm growing. And I was like, Okay. Because last time we had talked, you're like, no, I'm not. I'm done growing. I'm not going to do that anymore.
Well, I'm such a volatile person in certain things that I'm like, one day I'm like, take over the world. And the other day I'm like, I don't even want to do this anymore. You know, what am I going to do when I grow up? You know, like, I don't even know. But I remember when you came out to the ranch and you're like kind of looking around, like, what are these guys running around? You know? And then I was like, yeah, you kind of forced me to, you know, hire people, and it's cool. And I remember,
because the amount of work.
Yeah. And Dan Parrish, you remember when, and Dan Parrish was like sitting right here, and he's like, Richard, Brent's basically begging you to hire people, you know, to give you more work. And I kind of finally, a year later, I got the hint, and I was like, oh yeah, you know.
It's actually been 3 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dan Parrish, episode 9, I think.
Yeah.
Again, for our listeners, I mean, you're now talking about, you know, from the starter guy, now you're talking about a person who's running his business, has some employees. How do you think about growth? How are you thinking about, you know, the company that you become? I'm asking my people that all day. What are we going to be when we grow up? Okay. So I'm, you know, 35 years into the business and asking that question, because circumstances change all the time and everything else. So now talk as a growing business owner. How do you think about it?
Well, I have a lot of, I look to you for a lot of inspiration, and as much work as you have for us right now, I know that sometimes when y'all are in pre-con or you're framing, like, you're not going to have work for us. It's just the nature of construction. So I'm just kind of networking and kind of working with trying to get my foot in the door in other places. And one cool thing that I did over on Monday was the Baker Hotel in Mineral Wells.
Yeah.
We went out there and talked to the construction manager, and he's like, we're redoing this whole thing and we need y'all to do all the trim. So have you been in there?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like real fancy. It's like basically a 1x6 base. It's like a 1x4 casing, a picture molding.
Just so you guys know, the Baker Hotel, it's in Mineral Wells, Texas. And Mineral Wells, as the name implies, had these healing waters, mineral waters. And literally Hollywood stars were coming to Texas to go to get the healing waters that you would have in this place. It's called Mineral Wells. They built this huge hotel, what, 28 or 30? Or no, I guess it was before the Great Depression. So in the 20s.
Yeah, in the 20s.
Yeah, and it is, like, Mineral Wells probably has a population of 12,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And this hotel, you know, almost holds 12,000 people. It's huge. It's like 8 or 10 stories, and it's just, it's fabulous. And so we originally bid the window restoration and didn't get it, but have been a fan. And that has been one of those preservation projects in Texas that everybody's been looking at. Oh, wouldn't it be great if someone restored the Baker? Wouldn't it be great? And so now there's a team doing it. So I love that you might be doing that.
Yeah. And it's a big might, because one of the reasons you probably didn't get it is because they're on a really tight budget. And I think I'm going to come in too high for them.
Well, I think that's why we didn't get the window job.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He told me they're waiting on like historical grants and stuff, and just trying to get the work moving. But if gut feeling, I don't think I'm going to do it, but I'm still going to submit a bid and see. But
I love it.
So to answer the question, I'm just trying to network and keep things moving, because now I feel like a responsibility. Where like back in the day, if we didn't have work for a week or something, me and John would just shoot YouTube videos all week. And then I would have this slew of videos to post. And then I would generate revenue like that.
Yeah.
Keep us going. And Tom's a really interesting guy, because Tom isn't like us younger. Tom's retired. He literally loves doing this.
He's a retired guy who works 40 hours a week.
I know. He's at McFarland right now on Saturday. And he's like, we got to get this done. And he's just such a good guy.
That's a good one.
Yeah. And so it's kind of cool. He's like, hey, if you need me, I'm here. But remember, I got all this other stuff I can be doing. I'm like, why can't everyone be like you, you know?
So, I mean, as you think about your business, and you'll hear more when I tell you about what's going on at Hull, but what do you have, 6 guys now? 4?
I think I'm going to hire this guy today. That'll be number 6.
Yeah.
And we did have 6 2 months ago, but the other guy I thought was good didn't work out. He stayed on for a little bit, but
yeah. So it's, you're growing your business. You'll have six people. Do you foresee looking at a, being a Dan Parrish where you have 20, 30 carpenters, you know, doing stuff, or if the work was there?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Yeah.
And I do have more work coming in. The, you know, that Tiger Woods project on 377?
Blue Jack.
It's not going to be like your stature of stuff, but it'll be 1x4 casing, you know, pre-hung doors, that'll keep us kind of fed.
Did Josh reach out to you about that?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, good.
Basically, they have like little, they're calling them horseshoe houses. It's all like ranch based. Right. So the trim isn't like, whoa, cool trim. But it's the kind of job that could keep us fed while we're waiting for one of yours to get to carpentry.
How would you structure your business if you got 20 or 30 carpenters on board? Would you have like squad managers essentially and like do it that way?
I kind of have that right now. Oh, Tom is the manager at this job in University Park. And then I'm the manager at the one and at that ranch. Mm-hmm. So we're like kind of the lead people. And then we kind of delegate to everyone what's going on and like what to do and how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of crazy because you don't like it just happens, mm-hmm. you know, like you just like how many employees do you have?
Over 50 now.
Like when you started, can you imagine having 50? It just you kind of need it. And then you're like, I need this position. And then it just happens and you just roll with it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just organic.
Yeah.
You know, you don't plan for it.
So let me ask some questions, because when we talk about my, what's going on at Hull, you'll understand where these questions are coming from. And a teaser to that is I hired a president. I hired a guy basically to run my company.
But you're the president. What?
Yeah, I know. It's weird. And so.
Supposed to elect him, right?
Do I?
So you're supposed to elect him.
What? I could have elected him. So I, you know, having a guy who's a much more of a businessman than I am, I've recognized my strengths and weaknesses. And so I'm looking at you going, it is organic the way you grow, but is there any planning that you're doing? Have you mapped out? Have you talked to anybody? Do you have anybody in your team that you can kind of talk through what things look like? I mean, you talked about getting a shop at one point, you know, mm-hmm. where are you in that? And just like, are there, I know for my business, we'd oftentimes look at models for other businesses and go, well, that's actually a good looking business. I'd actually like to be like those guys or mm-hmm. whatever. Is there any of that planning you're doing?
I wish I could say yes, but I think it's just been so organic and so busy lately that I haven't sat down and came up with a business plan. I'm just like day to day trying to stay on top of it and meet the demands, which are pretty demanding for schedules and everything. So no, I haven't.
Well, you need to, and that's not a bad answer. That's not the wrong answer, but you do need to either find a time to go off, you know, maybe you can actually just take a weekend or a week or whatever. Time for you to kind of reflect and be away from the business where you can think about the business, not to think about the business. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So that you're actually, you're backing away from it, and maybe it's going to retreat. Maybe it's going to kind of some kind of business seminar where you actually hear some other ideas. Maybe it's a business book that you're reading. There's a book called The E-Myth. Have you read that?
Mm-mm.
It's a book Jackson and I know of. It's that Michael Gerber wrote this. I mean, it's one of the best-selling books on business there is. It's called The E-Myth, The Entrepreneurial Myth. You are an entrepreneur. And it talks about, you know, how to grow your business, right? I mean, it's how to think about what your skill set is, what you bring to the business, and then how to grow that business, how to take those positions and build up.
I don't remember the crux of what the E-Myth is. Like, I don't remember what the E-Myth is. But the book was basically saying a bunch of businesses fail, and this is why they fail. And so
I think
they don't have to.
Yeah, I think the E-Myth, one entrepreneur with I remember is, I'm a great carpenter. I'm going to have a carpentry business. And so not realizing that the carpentry business doesn't mean you get to do more carpentry. It's actually you move into a role where you have to oversee other carpenters. And all of a sudden you find yourself running people and managing people, you no longer have the tool belt on. And what made you really good as a carpenter, you're not good as a manager. And so yes. I've got a little bit of that problem. And so
there's also a what got you here doesn't get you there.
Yeah.
And so and that's the part I don't like, paperwork, meetings. And I know I do. I don't want to say I don't like it, but it's not what I signed up for, you know, well, kind of thing. But it's part of it.
That's why I think you'll like the book, because the thesis of the book is not, if you want to grow, you just have to stop doing the thing that you right. love. The thesis of the book is hire that out. Yes. Like find somebody who is really good at that stuff so you can keep doing what you're really good at, which is what made your business good in the first place. Well, it uses the example of a baker.
Yeah,
and it talks about how a baker is like a really great baker. And then they grow and they get two more bakeries, but they have to then run those two bakeries. And so they're hiring chefs to be in their places. And then both of those bakeries don't do well because they don't have what made the original bakery good, which was the baker. And so instead, they should have hired an accountant or, you know, someone to be
managers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and remember, and what I keep going back to, and I've thought about it a number of times, talking about Dan Parrish. Do you remember what he said made the difference? The person that he hired that made all the difference in the world for him?
The CFO.
He hired basically a guy to help him make decisions about how to grow and build his business. And so I've thought about that because the guy I hired is basically a CFO. It is amazing, okay, finding someone with that skill set who can recognize who you are, right? Recognize the talents you bring to the game. Recognize why you're successful as a business owner and why people are hiring you, and go, okay, you just keep go doing that. I'm going to take care of this other stuff for you. Proposals and you know, all these different things that you don't necessarily want to be doing. Anyway, it could make your life, you know, more pleasant.
Yes. Yeah, I wish I could be in so many places at once right now.
Yeah.
Like when I was at that, I almost didn't even go to the Baker Hotel because I was like, I have so much to do. But I'm like, I want to go look at it, you know? And I don't want to not, because when you don't do that, then you miss the networking opportunity. Which, by the way, the construction manager there, he lives like a minute away in downtown Mineral Wells.
Yeah, I've met him.
Oh, you know?
Yeah.
Did you go to his house?
No, but he was buying his house when I was talking to him.
Did you see the house?
Uh-uh. It's old. It's like 1910 or something.
Yeah, and he took me in there, and I want to say it was like Richardson Romanesque is the style.
Could be.
It's like all stone and like it's a guess.
Like Richardson Romanesque.
It's a big guess, but I told him about my social media and working with you, and he said, if y'all ever want to come shoot a video here, like, you're more than welcome to.
Why have you not mentioned that until now? Why are you doing not bringing that up?
This is
right?
A little
right? Get him now.
A little different than George Washington.
I don't see it. I think it's about the same.
So that's on the table. If you want to, we can go do how we did. What's this one here? I always forget the
Thistle
name.
Thistle Hill or McFarland.
Is that also McFarland?
The Edelman McFarland house? That's
so there's two McFarlands.
Yeah. Well, they're different spelling. One's M-A-C Far Land and one's M-C-F
L-I-N.
Land.
Yeah.
Oh.
Lynn. So,
It's exciting to hear. You need to probably read that book or do the audio thing, especially if you're on your long drive down to, you know, you should listen to the audio version of that book. I think it could really help you.
Yes.
Because I think you're in a growth spurt. You know, we're looking to grow at Hull because we see the next 3 to 4 years as being kind of a good time. Anyway, it's just now would be the time to dig into that.
Well, one of the things I'm realizing too that Dan Parrish said, and I'll end it on this, is like he said, and he's texted me or messaged me since then because I said what you said about business on the podcast is so true. And he wrote back, you mean how cash is oxygen? And I'm like, yes. Because like I only manage like 6 people right now, but like to have the funds, you know, like if we're waiting on a draw, these people still want to be paid.
And you may want to go talk to a bank and you know, you've got a growing business. You need what's called a line of credit, so that, you know, if you did get tight and you did make some purchases, you could float through that time. Managing cash is huge.
I shouldn't have bought that boat. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I haven't done it.
And the house, amazing. And the four wheeler, and the.
They're like, we'd give you a line of credit. What's this boat? You know?
No, it's just managing cash. I mean, you know, that whole thing, cash is king, right? It's just, I think that I'm not a great business person because I'm more the artist, designer person. One of the skill sets I did when I nearly failed at one point is the guy helped me build a spreadsheet that basically said, this week, what jobs, what money's coming in, what money's going out. And literally, I built a spreadsheet for every single week with every single job, when it was going to pay, when I was going to do, when short. And what it basically does is, like, you know, week three of next month, you got no money and you've got payroll that week. And you're like, oh, you know, and it helps you plan, go, oh, yeah, I guess I better hold on to this money, wait to pay that because this.
I can't imagine.
And I've got a lot of money coming in 2 months, but I don't have any money the next month. I mean, managing cash is a great
50 people too.
Huge skill set. Yeah, that's crazy.
Payroll chunks are.
Yeah, no, I know.
How's your stuff going? How are you managing?
Yeah. What are you up to? How many employees you got now?
You got a 3-year-old and
two kids. They're on the payroll. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about what you're excited about when you come to Hull next year?
Yeah. I'm excited about, I don't know, I'm walking into a situation where I really just want to learn from all the people who are doing it. I've got a lot of experience that's like this deep, you know what I mean?
Mile wide, so like an inch deep.
Yeah, I've seen so many different things and I don't know anything at the same time. So I kind of know what I don't know. There's like a learning triangle or learning square that basically says at first you don't know what you don't know, and then you know what you don't know, and then you don't know. Anyway, they switch all four ways. Basically, it gets to the end where you
go back to the beginning.
You get back to the beginning. Well, then you're teaching someone else and you're walking them through the process. And that's kind of how it's supposed to grow, is you take them through it where they don't know what they don't know. And then you know what you don't know. And then you start to know. And then you don't know what you don't know. Anyway.
I don't know.
Anyway, so I'm excited.
So you're here next year?
Yeah,
nice.
If he'll hire me, I'll be on board. But I came into K-Life when I started working there, and I had a bunch of feedback that I came in a little hot. I had a lot of ideas. I was fresh out of this like institution where we were talking about
hot meaning what, like.
I came in with a lot of
everything.
Ideas, and I changed a lot of things very quickly. And I think some people saw it as a breath of fresh air, and some people saw it as
like offensive.
We've been doing this for so long. You know, you're 23 years old. What are you doing here? And so in reflecting, I wish there's a book by Patrick Lencioni where it talks about that transition. And I wish I had sat back and watched for 3 months and whatever.
And, a period of time.
Yeah.
Where you're not,
where I just,
not talking, looking.
Well, and I'm doing exactly what I'm told and, you know, learning and observing rather than just being like, why don't we do this? That's wrong. Let's fix it, you know, which I think is my mindset in a lot of ways. Like, I can fix that. Let me get in there and, you know, get my hands on it rather than just like, let's just see how it plays out before I just jump to, well, let's change it and make it better. Better by whose standards? Better by my standards? Is this working in some ways? What am I, you know, just think a little bit before acting. So I'm excited about employing that that I learned from my last experience and not doing that well. So, but also I'm not coming in like in K-Life. I came in and I was like a director. And so it was,
so you had the authority.
I immediately had authority.
Yeah.
Now I'm coming in and I'm just a worker bee. So I have no authority, but then I just know to shut up and watch first rather than.
We got to teach him which end of the broom handle to hold. So that's the first thing.
Yeah, it's the soft one with the bristles, right?
Yeah. It's good stuff. Thanks, Richard, for sharing all that.
Yeah. I'm happy to help if any way. Learn from my mistakes. Be specific on your ads and postings. And
Oh, the one thing I was going to say is we're interviewing a lot of people too. Well, I'll save it.
Say it in yours.
Yeah, exactly.
What a teaser. See you next week with that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for watching this episode of the Passion for Craft podcast, and we'll see you in the next one.